text that was read, could you pass God's test? Could you pass God's test? Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, it's one more time I've been called upon to stand behind this sacred desk and preach on your holy word. So because I'm human, I'm a son, thankfully a son saved by grace, I've still got my problems, I've still got my issues, I have things that are still destructive in me. And so I ask you right now, oh Lord, because you're all powerful, all kind, and all loving God, that you remove anything that might be destructive to this word or might pervert it in any way. Give me that clarity of sight, mind, speech, because people need to hear a word and it needs to be plain and something they can understand. And then, oh Lord, you know, I've had some issues during the week, so I'm going to call on you right now, Lord, to give me the strength. But I'm going to stand on your promises because I've got history with you, Lord. I know what you've done before, and if you've done it before, you can do it one more time. So, Lord, for the next half hour, give me strength to preach this word with power and with might. And we'll all be better. And we'll give you all glory and praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you pass the test? I know at first glance, most of us would say yes. For we say that we love the Lord. We say that we serve the Lord. But how many of us have problems with the one thing Jesus commanded us to do? To love God, to love neighbor, and to love self. Oh, now the God part is easy. But the neighbor part. There are churches all over the land this morning where members don't love each other, not to mention their neighbors. And then, when it comes to loving self, that's a hard thing for many of us to do. In fact, that's something I've been preaching about for a long time. For Sharon in June of 1965, I just completed my first year at Howard University. 17 years old when my pastor asked me to speak for the youth day. And it was something about moving away from Richmond, a closed place, a conservative place, a segregated place to Washington, D.C. In fact, I had even been paid not to go to pharmacy school at MCV. But I saw so much being in a different place. I experienced so much seeing great black people. I saw that there was something at work that kept many of us from loving ourselves. And so as 17-year-old, I asked sis enough to take a text and stick to the text. Somebody. It came from Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Back then, I didn't know to say, you know, I need to tag that text. I just got up and said, my sermon is entitled, We Need to Learn How to Love Ourselves. And that has been my motto for so long. In fact, when I did my weekly radio show for 9 years, I closed my show with that text and then with the words, We need to learn how to love ourselves. But society wants us to hate ourselves. The educational system has done a great job teaching us how to hate ourselves. Religion, yes, even Christianity has done a good job. But we've been messed up by images. Oh, I saw something where the Archbishop of Canterbury said yesterday, we need to consider some of these images we have of Jesus. We don't need to consider, just take them down and put up one that looks like real, you know. We have been messed up by an interpretation of Scripture that has taken away the divineness that God has placed in us. And it's so bad, not only does the vice president refuse to say that black lives matter, there are many black Christians this morning that feel the same way. Well, I was listening to a black pastor preach on racism last week. I ain't gonna call his name, but now I understand why I get so many emails from these publishing companies pushing it. And even though he acknowledged that racism was America's original sin, he said he could not support Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. And they do. It's just that I want to experience a little less of hell right here on earth because of the color of my skin. See, some of us have failed the easiest test. So you know you were in trouble when things get a little difficult. But God speaks to all of us. And God has a divine assignment for those of us here and those of us in their homes. See, I know there are some church folks, even when you're sincere, when God has spoken to you and told you that you need to do this, even though the assignment has been given to you, God, the command of God is rejected because you got certain folks, if it doesn't fit their agenda, you can't even do it up in God's house. Oh, most of us get messed up when we get a command from God. But I can't tell you how many times I've been told, say, something told me. Well, you know, that something was the Holy Spirit. And it was God. Yet we say, let me tell you, God got the wrong number. See, if we are honest about that, boys, we know that God has all knowledge. We know that God knew us before we knew ourselves. Let me take that a little bit further. God gave us this computer called the brain, a complex organ that controls body functions. And to make that brain work, God gave us a software to run that brain we call the mind. And just like any website, just like that number on your cell phone, God has given each and every one of us a personal IP address, an address that is unique to each one of us. It's just that evil doesn't want us to know what God wants us to know. So we let evil into our minds. Let's just call it what it is, sin. And sin acts like a virus and causes us to do a lot of crazy things. And the crazier things get, the less we speak to our friend. Has anybody in here ever had a telephone that didn't use for a long time? And when you don't, you pick up the phone, and the phone doesn't work. I know Jamaica, you're trying to get the house. Pick up the phone, silence, no dial tone. See, you pick it up and it doesn't work because it hadn't been connected to its source. See? And I hope y'all see the picture I'm trying to paint. You need to connect with your source on a regular basis. I'm talking about Almighty God. Because when God speaks to you, when God gives you a test, I want everybody that I've served as their pastor, I want you to pass the test. And our text this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Genesis, the beginning. And the text comes from the series I preached a few years ago. We call it Family Affair. In fact, two Sundays ago, we were with Abraham when God turned what seemed into what was impossible into a possibility. And for that to happen, we've got to be willing to listen to God. And don't fall into that trap that when God speaks, it has to be a certain God. Hello? This is the voice of God. You know, that might work for Richard Pryor and those other comedians. But as I read about Elijah last week, when God came, it wasn't in the strong wind. It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. But God came in a thin, quiet sound. See, stop listening to people who don't love themselves. Stop trying to act like you are God so you can pass God's test. And remember, God has so many ways to speak to you. God can put other people in your life. God can use animals. In fact, God is using the earth right now with all of this extreme weather to tell us we're destroying the place that God created for us. But look at these extreme temperatures. Look at the violent storms. And look at that dust cloud that'll come all the way from from the Sahara Desert and has reached our shores. See, God is saying, when I told you to have dominion, it didn't mean that you could do whatever you wanted to do with my creation. God meant for us to take care of God's creation. As we enter the text, tells us exactly what God is going to do. It's right there. Said God tested Abraham. And if God tested Abraham, I know God has tested me. And don't think for a moment that God doesn't have a test for you. It's just that when God speaks, too many times the noise and distractions are so loud, we don't even hear God. See, Abraham listened to God when he didn't even know who God was. God told Abraham to get up and go, and Abraham got up and went. And see, too many people this morning got their noses to the grindstone because they did not listen to God when God told them to get up and go, or refused to go because they felt uncomfortable in their messed up situation. See, however, it was a situation that it was intended no God good for you, a situation where you could never reach your God-given possibilities. In fact, the test that Abraham is about to face is a result of God showing up and having a conversation with Abraham. In a situation where you and I could have gotten mad and said, God, I don't feel like talking to you anymore. And I got to admit, there are times when my prayer life seems empty. But when God speaks, I listen. God called Abraham, even after Abraham had received the gift of his son. See, Abraham could have flipped it around this time because he had what he wanted. Abraham could have kicked God to the curb like too many people do when God fulfills the promise. But Abraham answered when God called. And God called Abraham by his name, just like God will call you by your name. And Abraham answered, I'm here. Or God needs some more. I'm here, people, to help bring a little bit of God's kingdom right here on earth. However, what God had to say was probably the worst thing Abraham wanted to hear. And the directions are so clear. Ain't no ambiguity in it all. You know, nothing you can infer is right there. Take your son, your only son, whom you know, ask, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up as an entire burnt offering there on one of the mountains. I will show you. I know how most of us would respond. Why, God? You made me wait all those years to give me a son. A son that was going to start the process of making me a great nation. And now you turn telling me to burn him up. I know what I say. I don't think so, God. In fact, Abraham said, I'm 14 years older than I was when you performed the first miracle. I don't think there are any miracles left when it comes to me and Sarah in birthing another child. But rather than the response most of us give, we have to be willing to step out on faith. But you know, that's something we do when we feel like it. That's something we do when it's something we want to do. True test of stepping out on faith is when you disagree with God. But Abraham didn't think about it. Abraham did not pray about what to do, for the directions came directly from God. Real silly, God tells you something new and you say, I got to pray about it. Abraham got up early in the morning, harnessed his donkeys, and he took two of his young men along with his son Isaac. Notice, he didn't wait. He didn't look for an excuse. He didn't even tell his wife. You know, so Sarah said, man, you shouldn't do that. And not only did he start his journey, he gathered what he needed for the sacrifice. He split the wood for the entire burnt offering before he set out on this journey. Abraham went, not just went, but he went prepared. Because the length of the journey might have sapped the strength. He was old, man. He passed 100 years old, where it could have been the point he would have had to put off the sacrifice when he got there. Well, long journey. Journey 3 days. And just as Abraham was obedient to God, check out how faithful Isaac was to his father. Isaac was probably a teenager by then. He knew what sacrifice was about. And as Abraham and Isaac separated from the two servants, as they climbed up the mountain, Isaac said to his father, "My father," said it out of respect, said it out of trust. And just like Abraham responded to God, Abraham responded to his son, "I'm here." And as I look at too many relationships this morning, fathers and sons are not in a relationship because fathers are not in a relationship with their heavenly father. Preach on, Pastor Hill. Abraham said, "I'm here, my son." And then Isaac asked his father, "Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the entire burnt sacrifice?" Oh, that's a sermon I could preach one Sunday. Do we bring everything we need when we come to worship? Or as the OJs would say, we bring our bodies here to church, but our minds are on the other side of town. See, we need to stop messing God around. But don't let Abraham's response think you have an out. But when Abraham speaks those words in the form of a question and then a response, the lamb for an entirely burnt offering. You know, that's a strange way to answer a question. But his response, God will see to it, my son. It is an acknowledgement to self, if not to his son, that everything he needs for the sacrifice he has for the son is a sacrifice. And you know what? To then, it was just talk. Up until then, it had just been a long journey. But when the time comes to act, we need to trust God and listen for further instruction. Well, Abraham, let's be honest, probably felt that he was about to do something that was not right. Abraham was trying to figure out what God was up to. But Abraham has something too many of us don't have, a relationship, and a relationship with God with a whole lot of history. But even though things don't always go right. In the end, I don't know about you, but God seems to work everything out. Is anybody like me this morning that no matter how many times you've been kicked to the curb, no matter how many times you've been knocked down, no matter how many times people have rolled the bus on you and backed up for good measure, the Lord we serve has worked things out. Abraham and Isaac got to the place. Abraham built the altar and arranged the wood over. Now remember, I said, Isaac was not a little boy. If he was not a teenager yet, he was close to it. But Isaac allowed his father, who was over 100 years old, to tie him up and lay him on the altar on top of that wood. See, that's faith in a father. That's trust in a father. That's faith in both Abraham and Isaac. But I probably would not have done what Abraham did. And if I was Isaac, won't go in the world, that old man was going to tie me up. And the Bible said, Abraham stretched out his hand, took his knife out, lifted it up to kill his son as a sacrifice. When Abraham heard a voice from heaven. See, that's why you got to keep on listening. The voice of the Lord's messenger said, don't stretch your hand up against this young man and don't do anything to harm him. And that's why it's important to always be listening to Almighty God, because you know Did Abraham love God more than the gift God gave? In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be leading a seminar on vocation and theology. And one of the questions that I'm going to ask those students, if you prayed to God to become a physician or a lawyer, if the answer is yes, what are you going to do with your career that will bring a little bit of help right here on earth? See, God granted me the opportunity to become a pharmacist and do things in the profession that many others had never done. But when I decided to keep my promise that I made to preach the gospel, I had to put ministry before my practice. Oh, y'all know how many times I came down the road to do a funeral? Well, I had to pay a pharmacist to take my place to come and do what God wants to do. But God, I had to do that because I made a promise to Almighty God. See, I had to show that God saving my life when I was a little boy meant more to me than the career that God gave me to do. And if you've ever prayed for God for something that God has given you, you better be like Abraham so that God's messenger can say to you, I know now that you revere God and didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me. It's easy to say you love God, but the true meaning of how much you love God is based on your action. Do you remember when Isaac asked the question, where's the sacrifice? As Abraham untied the boy, took his son off the altar, Abraham went over and took a ram. That's where our preachers get this thing. God always got a ram in the bush. And I heard that too many times from one of my pastors. Come in on Friday evening. Hey, Doc, do you think you can get a ram out the bush? I said, ain't no ram in the bush. Say, as Rita said, she could hear him after. She heard him so many times say it, you know. Instead of saying, Doc, I want you to preach this Sunday, that Sunday, that Sunday. You know, go get that ram that just happened to be there. But Abraham, he offered that ram as an entirely burnt offering instead of his son. But with our Lord will always provide. And not only will the Lord provide, God won't ask you to do anything that God won't do. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And God's son stepped down from glory. God's son put on human flesh. And this time, because we had to be made right with God. This time, because the gap between human time and God had to be closed. God did not stop the sacrifice. God let God's only son, Jesus, suffer and die on that old red cross for you and for me. And because that sacrifice is acceptable, we have eternal life right now and for eternity. So in this life, with so much noise, take time each and every day to listen to God. When God gives you instruction, be willing to step out on faith. Step out to a new day. Step out to a better day. And when it's time to put God's plan into action, especially if the plan doesn't seem right in your view, when that happens, trust God. And God has never let me down. And I have to believe that God will never let you down either. Just keep listening. For it could be a test. And by listening, that test that doesn't seem right, that test will be over. And you will get a passing grade. For life is full of tests. Some of them from Almighty God. I want you, and God wants you, to pass the test. And you can pass the test. I said you can pass it. Do you know you can pass it this morning? Don't try to pass it by yourself. You might ask me to help you a little bit, but when you've got a real test, You will make it. I said you will make it. You will make it with the help of the God who set up the test, the God who knew you could handle the test, and the God who wants you to pass the test. Amen. 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 Amen.